Okay, Das Tefillah 59. It is October 19th, 2021, and we are discussing the Midah of Yitzchak. What it mean? What it really was? We're finding out that our Avos, at least Avraham and Yitzchak, were rather extreme examples of the Midos that they championed. They were really extreme in the extent to which they exuded love and outreach and a desire to connect to others. And on the flip side, yira, fear, din, the extent to which Yitzchak had such an intense feeling that Hashem was right before him that he was almost paralyzed with fear. When we get to Yaakov, hopefully we'll feel a little bit better, because Yaakov becomes a blending of the Midah of Avraham and the Midah of Yitzchak, and perhaps it's in that path that we're more expected to walk. But it is specifically because these Midos were fleshed out by Avraham and Yitzchak. You have to have the two extremes. You have to see it in its purest form to really be able to understand what is the Midah of Ahava and Chesed, and what is the Midah of Yira and Din. So we're discussing Yitzchak. Again, what is it that we're trying to do? This is not a sefer about the Avos. It's a sefer about tefillah. But what he's trying to show is not simply that Avram and Yitzchak davened according to their particular midah. They didn't daven. They may have davened one in the morning, one in the afternoon, but they davened. They had a very different relationship with Hashem. But to show that those relationships necessarily led to tefillah. It was a natural result of the way that they related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it was going to include tefillah in some sort. And again, Avram was easier for us to understand, easiest for us to relate to, that Avram was someone who needed to connect. Avram wanted to go beyond himself. Avram wanted to be constantly out there with others. And of course, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps as well, mostly, even more with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, that led him to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what about Yitzchak? So we're going to spend tonight understanding even better what it means, the fear that Yitzchak had of Hashem. And again, don't let this scare you too much, because this is an extreme example of someone who showed us what fear could be. That's what Yitzchak's role was as an Av, to show a paradigm of what fear could be. And then hopefully by next week, we'll be able to see how that led him into a sort of prayer. So we're talking about Yira, we're talking about fear. And we began last time to talk about how fear has very similar letters to sight. Yira and Re'iyah. Reb Tzadok HaKohen points this out, as we have in the source in front of us. Yira, osios, Re'iyah. There's a connection between seeing and not believing, but seeing and fearing. Seeing and fearing. Ki ha-re'iyah shehi midas hadin. When we speak of seeing something clearly, we speak of midas hadin. And again, remember, throughout our discussions, we've said midas hadin isn't punishment. Midas hadin is something that's exacting. Midas hadin could be reward. But midas hadin means that it is what it is. You get what you deserve. You get what you deserve. Positive, negative. There's no question about the future, what it's going to mean. There's no question about your past history. No one can come and claim you're such a good guy. Give him a break. In under strict justice, the action is looked at a moment. We saw a phenomenal idea last year, last week, that we said the word rega is for the word broken. Rega, a minute is broken because really time, if it's not broken up, is nothing. You can't really measure time. It's a free flow. A rega is when we take a moment. Din operates within a rega. We take one film, one moment, and we say, oh, that's what's going on right now. So he quotes here, or he quotes the Maharal, who quotes the Gemara, a very, very interesting Gemara in Shabbos. Maybe we won't exactly get to where we're up to next week, but the week afterwards. We're going to spend a few minutes on this very interesting Gemara this week. The Gemara says that in the future, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Klal Yisrael and wants to punish Klal Yisrael, he's going to come to the Avos and he's going to ask them what they think should be done to Klal Yisrael. So very interesting. He comes to Avram and he says, your children have sinned. He wakes Avram up in the Maris HaMachpelah and he says, your children have sinned and what should we do? So Avram Avinu says, what are the choices here? You know, is it going to make you look bad if people sin against you? God says, yes. Avram says, so let them be obliterated to save your name. Not a very chesed thing for Avram to say. A little disappointing to us, the great-grandchildren. But okay, Avram Avinu responds and says, you can't forgive him. He comes next to Yaakov. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Banecha Chatu, your children have sinned. And Yaakov says, Ribono Shel Olam, he says, let them be obliterated for the sake of your name. Yimachu, if this is what has to happen, I am Modeh, I agree, we should have the children of Klal Yisrael wiped out if they've sinned against you. This is allegorical, very hard to understand. No rachamim, nothing there. And then he turns to Yitzchak, and notice that the order is messed up here. He should have gone to Avram and then Yitzchak and Yaakov. He goes to Avram and then he goes to Yaakov. And then, only then he goes to Yitzchak. Now, if Avraham and Yaakov have said no, so I would assume that Yitzchak is going to say no, right? What is Din after all? Din says you get what you deserve. So Yitzchak presents one of the most fascinating and almost humorous defenses of all of us that could possibly be given. So Yitzchak comes and says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first of all, why are you telling me, you told me that my descendants, my children have sinned. He goes, we both share the blame here. They're both of our children. So let's talk now about our children. So he says, how bad could they really be? How many sins could they really have committed? And he goes on to show that we don't have time to be really bad. We're too busy to be really bad. So first he says, how long does a person live? So he says, 70 years. Okay, 70 years. So he says, well, the first 20 years don't count. We have a tradition. This is one of the sources of that tradition, that for the first 20 years, we are not punished for mistakes that we make. Biology has shown us that there, in fact, are plugs that are not plugged into other things inside the brain till about the year 19 or 20, which explains why teenagers do things that Rabbi Drelich sees them do. They are literally broken. They're literally broken. Their brains are broken. It's not actually their fault. Things are not plugged into other things. Like consequences. There's a plug that you have to plug in, that if you do this, it's going to end up with that. So biology has shown that those neurological connections are not completely formed. Dr. Mark, have you ever studied this? Is there any truth to what I'm saying? I'm making this up. No. Dr. Pelkovitz talks about it all the time. So he says, first of all, the first 20 years, you can't hold them accountable for. So now we're down to 50 years. Then he says, half the time they're sleeping. They slept a lot more than we slept. He says, half the time they're sleeping. You can't hold them accountable for that either. So now we're down to 25 years. They only have potentially 25 years of bad stuff. Then he says, Dal tarti srei upalga detzilui umechal udves hakise. He says, take away, because half of their waking hours are davening, eating, or going to the bathroom. That's a fascinating thing to say. But that's the next thing Yaakov says. Half the time, they can't sin there. They're eating breakfast, they're davening, or they're in the bathroom, they're taking a shower. How much time do they really have left? So he says, It's 12 and a half years. That's all you have left is 12 and a half years out of 70 years. That's all the time they could sin. And then he says, I have already sacrificed myself. The first thing he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, let's split it. Let's split it. You take 6 1/4 and I'll take 6 1/4 and we'll bear it somehow. And then he says, and even if you need me to bear the whole thing, I already basically offered to give up my life for you. So I have credit and I will use my credit for those 12 and a half years. I don't think I could have covered 70 years of all the people sinning, but 12 and a half years per Jew, that much credit I have in my bank account, and therefore it goes okay.
But now, Robert Penner, that sounds like Christianity.
It's interesting. We do have a concept called Zechut Avot, that we have a certain amount of merit from our...
Someone being sacrificed for the sake...
Like interesting. He doesn't exactly say that he was sacrificed for the purpose of the children. What he says is, I was willing, that the merit for being willing to give up my life for you, so I'm willing to cut into my, what do I need it for at this point?
I see the chut avot more like that we have like sort of like points that we have like.
So that's, this is Yitzchak applying some of the points. Obviously, there are many difficult aspects to this fascinating Gemara, the most of which was that I'm just fascinated that half of people's waking hours are davening, eating, and going to the bathroom. What?
Sorry.
It's okay. We get to hear you three times. Yeah.
Right.
Just
Jesus
ask the question.
Died for the sins. Yitzchak didn't.
He says he was willing to die for the sins. Yitzchak didn't. Although we're going to see probably next week that he may have on some level. He may have on some level died for the sins. But it's a good question. The reality is there is. Sophie, the answer really is there is basis within Judaism for this concept, which was really adopted as the core of Christianity.
Okay.
The idea of vicarious atonement actually does have its place within Judaism. It's a more minor place than what became in Christianity. If you look particularly at the works of the Ramchal and Derech Hashem and other places actually really expresses this idea that the death of a tzaddik can atone for a lot of people on his coattails, but not for now. But fascinating. Now, first of all, we have this surprise that Yitzchak, the person of Din, is the one who gets the Jews off the hook. He's the one that gets the Jews off the hook. But somehow, again, Din doesn't mean mercy. Din doesn't mean the opposite of mercy. So din doesn't mean you're going to punish, you're going to punish, you're going to punish. Din just means he figured out a way to work this out. He made a deal with the Ribono Shel Olam. He analyzed, based on facts, how much the people could have sinned. He looked at his bank account, so to speak, and he transferred over the money. Again, this idea that din is not punishment. Din is just that everything has to be accounted for. Okay, but then he says the following. So Klal Yisrael are very excited. So the Jewish people say, Ki ata avinu, you Yitzchak, you're our real father. Avraham, Yaakov, they didn't stand up for us. But you're really the hero today. And then it says, Umachvi le Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'inayhu. And that's what's quoted here in our source. Umachvi lehu Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'inayhu. Yitzchak points, acknowledges God in their eyes. Miyad nasu enehem lamarom. They turn, they say, oh no, oh, I didn't realize he's above there. He's the real hero. And they say, God is great, not just Yitzchak is great. Okay. We didn't have to learn the whole story, but it's such a fascinating story. There's so much to think about with that story and how little of our time is really ours. And what we do with that time, that's ours, right? I mean, how many hours of a day are really open for our interpretation? How many are just busy with things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just expects us to do as human beings? He put us in these bodies. If we weren't in these bodies, we wouldn't have to sleep. We wouldn't have to go to the bathroom. We wouldn't have to eat. He put us in physical bodies. And those physical bodies, it's interesting they put the word prayer in there, but the basic schedule of stuff is already 3/4 of our time. the whole window that we have to decide is 6 hours a day. Again, whatever it is. What are the things, and what do we then do with those 6 hours a day? And how does that reflect who we are? Right? So much of our day is already pre-programmed. So much of our day is already there. It's going to be, and it's the same with everybody. What makes a person great? How many hours of greatness does one person have over another? And can we strive more closely to that? It's just a couple of hours difference, right? Because we all are doing the basic things of life most of the time. And just very interesting idea. Couldn't give up such a juicy Gemara. But what does it say? It says that Yitzchak, when they started to applaud Yitzchak, he points with his finger, right? He indicates. Machvi really means to indicate. He points with his finger and says, God's right there. Right there. Why are you telling me? God's like standing right behind me. He's standing right above me. He's right here. That's the one that you should praise. And they go and they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, explains the Maharal, Lekach Yitzchak, Hu Machvi Hashem Yisbarach El Yisrael Beinayu. Why was Yitzchak so easily able to point to God from where he was? Again, leave out the rest of the story, just the end. The end where the people come and they thank Yitzchak. And he says, don't thank me, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's right here next to me. Who's right here above me. What is that about, says the Maharal. Ki yesh li Yitzchak dveikus el Hashem Yisbarach. Because Yitzchak, more than any of the Avos, was intimately connected with Hashem. He had the greatest awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more than Avraham, more than Yaakov. For hu imo yitbarach legamrei. They were inseparable. Now the reality is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So what makes God distant isn't so much him, but our perception of him. It's a deep idea. He doesn't move. He's always there right next to us. But how connected we are to him is really dependent on our initiative. So if God is very close to you, it's because you perceive him to be, because you're aware of him. He's always right next to you. He's always right in front of you, right on top of you, right inside of you. But we're just not aware of him. Yitzchak was the most aware of God. V'havein milas be'inayhu, and understand specifically the word with their eyes. It's a kind of a funny phrase. He pointed out to them in their eyes that God was right there. V'havein, says the Maharal, understand deeply the word in their eyes, de ka'amar, that he said, shahayu ro'im oto mitzad midat hadin. They saw God within, and we'll have to figure out, what does this phrase mean? What does it mean to see God? Be aware of God? Through the midat hadin, through the attribute of strict justice, he midas Yitzchak kiyadua, and that's the midah of Yitzchak. So he writes, for those of us who don't exactly feel like we understood what he was saying, margishim anu et romumut hadvarim. We sense there's something, it's an amazing line. We feel the lofty nature of these words. We don't exactly understand what the Maharal's saying, usually. But we feel he's saying something great here. Umitoch hergesh zeh, and from this feeling, ba'im anu levarim ad kamashi adenu magas. It pays to try to figure out the best we can what the Maharal is saying. What does it mean that Yitzchak was close to God, and that was the midas hadin? So he says, now he's going to make it much clearer. Re'ia hu hachush shebo ha'adam kolet et ha'metziyut hachitzonit lo. Sight is the main sense that we use to take in something that's outside of us. B'tfisa mashlemet shel tchushat chayim. In a way that fully brings in the experience of life. We know that it's very difficult to hear two things at once. There's a phrase in the Gemara that we shouldn't necessarily, when someone's reading the Megillah, for example, you shouldn't have two people reading right next to each other, because trei kali, two voices, lo mishtai, aren't well heard. You can't, the way hearing works is you can only really hear one thing. You have to focus on exactly what it is that you're hearing. When it comes to sight, a huge amount of information comes into us. Hearing causes us to try to perceive a single thing, to try to perceive a single and understand a single sound. Sight brings together in the most living way, experiential way possible, everything in front of us. Hara'iya makefet tmunat mitziyut shlema al kol chalkeh gavaneh utechushoteh. Sight brings in the full sense of what's going on around us, with all of its colors, with all of its feelings. Everything comes in. You get so much from sight. Klitat mitziyut zeh, the bringing in, the collecting of this, the absorbing, that's the right word, absorbing everything around you. Kocha gadol yeshba utzma shel mitziyut chayim. This incredible power of bringing in what's around us, pe'ulatahi, what does it do? Chibur ha'adam l'mitziyut zu. Sight gives us the ability to be intimately connected with something around us. Ha'adam chai et asher hu ro'eh. You're living what you see. You're amidst it. You're part of it. We know that today from virtual reality, right? You are what you're experiencing through your sight. You can actually be somewhere else if that's what you're seeing through virtual reality glasses, virtual reality headset, right? Nif'al hu mimarot einav. You are affected. You're lifted to a different place based on what you see. Kach hu gadol koach ha-re'iya, explains the Reb Tzadok HaKohen. This is the power of sight. Yesh la koach ha-mekabel la-hamshich elav al yedei ha-ayin ro'ev alev chomeid. It brings everything outside into us. It makes us have a feeling that we need to react. We need to respond. And of course, this is true of other senses as well. Right, we hear something and we're shaken. We feel something. We feel a tap on our shoulder and we turn around. But sight is that which allows us to collect everything around us and to connect us to it. Why is this? Where is he going with this? What connected Avraham to everything around him? His desire to be connected to everything around him, right? For Avraham, connection came from a burning desire to be with others, to do chesed to others, to find out about others, to find God, to seek out God. What for Avraham, the connection, the intimacy with God was caused by his natural feeling of wanting to be with another. But Yitzchak, we said, is the opposite. Yitzchak doesn't naturally move beyond himself. He's not moving outward. For him, he's content to be as in as possible, but there are things around him. The sense of sight comes in, brings that which is outside of him into him. Okay, very deep idea. Re'iya mevi'a liyira. Sight brings to fear, because you honestly know what's in front of you. You could see it. Kasher yesh gilui mishamayim, when there is a revelation from heaven, kofahu hitbatlut shel ha'adam haroe oto. A person naturally feels very small in front of all of the sight, all of the things that he's taking in with his sight. Misaleku kol efsharut shel shikul dat pnimi hachasha ubechira. When I am overwhelmed by a sight of something, I feel very small. I feel that I am subservient or secondary to that thing. Adam yare mitbatel. A person who is afraid, right, he becomes nullified in front of that thing. We're talking really more about awe than fear. Talking really more about awe than fear. Because fear actually is something that often we feel when we don't know what's lurking around the corner. Think about it. Fear is often fear of the unknown. I don't have awe of the unknown. I have awe of something that I'm actually perceiving. I have awe of something that I'm actually taking in. Mipnei gilui zeh haba mibachutz v'kofe et ma'arechet chayav lihishtabed alav. I feel, I am so aware, in Yitzchak's case, of God. I could see him so clearly that I lose my sense of independence. I lose my sense of being able to operate. The fact is, if we saw God in front of us all the time, we would be paralyzed. We would lose our free will on some level. The only reason why we're able to have free will is because we can pretend that God's not looking right now, or I can forget that God's looking. But if God was standing right in front of me and I sensed him everywhere I went, I would be nullified, so to speak. Ki ayidei ha-ra'iya ba-hayira. Through sight, but sight here now we'll use the word perception. Through perception comes this awe. V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot v'et ha'lapidim v'et kol ha'shofar v'et ha'har ha'shem v'yera ha'am v'yenu v'yandu merachot. They saw the lightning, they saw the thunder. How do you see thunder? Because sight here doesn't just mean physical sight. It means to take something in. It means to really be aware of its existence. Right? We hear something, we're not sure if it's there. Our ears fool us. Our eyes don't fool us as easily. So they fully felt that God was there with them through the thunder. And it, what did it lead to? Fear. Mitachlis giloi hara'iyah demamet harsinai hi hayira. Of the things that we were supposed to get out of the Sinai experience was fear. Ki lo va'avur nasot etchem ba'alokim uva'avur tiyeh yirato al p'neichem levilti techeto. Finally, ki madregas hanevua hi tachlis hi hakarat hanochach. What is prophecy? Prophecy, the level of prophecy, is to act, to be as aware of God as a human being can become. When a person has prophecy, they don't doubt whether they had prophecy. We know that this week Avram Avinu is going to get a prophecy. And the prophecy is to go is to kill his son Yitzchak. And if he had any doubt whatsoever that he just had a bad dream, he would not have tied up Yitzchak to kill him. That's what the Rambam tells us. That when a person has a prophet, he knows for sure that that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of nevuah is hakarat hanochach, to be absolutely aware that this thing is in front of us. Hagilui habarur da'ata imadi, to the most clear way of understanding that you're with me, God. Ke'inyan, as we said, the machvi lehu beinayu. He pointed, or he made them aware in their eyes. Tzadik ha-kohen. Ze'inyan hakfiya shomamet har Sinai. And this is what happened at Sinai. What happened when, what does it mean that God lifted the mountain over their heads and he gave them no choice? Kafa aleim har kegigis. Re'iya shel gilui kofa hitbatlos. When a person is fully aware that God is there, so you're just completely subservient. You're just completely in awe of him. You lose your sense of self. V'im lav sham tehei kvurascham. And if not, This is where you're going to go. Tachlis hayira, hi haga ledargas hispat lezu b'chinas re'i. Okay? And in the same way, the purpose of fear is to be aware of God and to make oneself nothing in front of God. Okay? Where is he going with all this? We're going to see it next week or the week after. Where is he going with all this? What is he trying to say? He's trying to show how a person who's overcome with fear could be, through that moment, connecting with something outside of him. Avram was love. Avram wanted to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day, and he did talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wanted to connect with him. So it was natural that Avraham's love for God, love meaning the desire to break down the boundaries, the desire to go beyond myself. Of course Avram responded with prayer. But how did Yitzchak get close to God? How was he close to God? How was prayer a natural thing, connection to God a natural thing for him? Because real fear of God is not fear of punishment. It's awareness of God. It's awareness that God is right next to me. It's re'iyah, it's to be able to see. And that being able, that sense that God is absolutely in front of me, shaped Yitzchak's life. Shaped Yitzchak's life and stands as a model for us. So we'll see, please God, probably the middle of next week, we'll see how this led to Yitzchak's, the idea that Yitzchak was praying. Okay, and we're going to have to try to get a little better at this. Again, it's easier for us to relate to Avram Avinu and his Chabad house than Yitzchak and his tremendous fear. Much easier. But today, Yiras Hashem is not such a popular thing. Avas Hashem is the rage. Everybody's into Avas Hashem this point in time. Loving and dancing and singing and jumping up and down and going to Uman. And those are all good. Most of those are good things. But that's only one aspect of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There has to be an aspect of fear, of awareness of the fact that the master of the universe and the creator is standing right in front of us and has expectations of us. So we'll continue with that idea next week. Okay, next week we'll have the 60th session of Mirtz Hashem of Das Tefillah. Okay, good night all.
Rabbi
Penner, I saw that you're coming to Riverdale.
I am.